You bring your phone everywhere. Work, school, the movies. Now you can bring it to an Xfinity store for an easy way to switch to Xfinity Mobile, a new kind of network designed to save you money. You can get up to 5 lines of talk and text included with Xfinity Internet at no extra cost, so all you pay for is data. It's never been easier to switch to Xfinity Mobile and keep the phone you love. Click here to see how. Sorry, I gotta take this. Restrictions apply. Limited to select mobile phones. Requires activation of a new line of Xfinity Mobile. Up to 5 devices per account. New Xfinity Internet customers limited to up to 2 lines pending activation of Internet service.
Good afternoon, my Sunday Drive talkers. So glad that you're on the air today and looking forward to having another rendition of the Sunday Drive Talk. I'm your host, Dr. William P. Butler, Sr., and I am so excited to be here with you on today. We have yet another controversial topic that has creeped up on our segment of questions and answers over the internet, email, text message, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So keep those questions coming. Now, on today, before we get started, we just want to give thanks to God for quite a few people. I'm going to check and see if our producer, Miss Janice, is available to give thanks to all of our sponsors. If not, I'll take it from there. As we get ready to go forward, I want to say thank you for all of our people at Salon Knoxville, Jason Moore. I want to thank God for Pastor Maples. We want to thank God for all of the sponsors, all of the Salon Knoxville people, everyone who helps us over the radio, over the internet, Facebook, Blog Talk, Twitter, et cetera, et cetera. Thank you so much. And if you're ever interested in getting your church or your segment on air, make sure you drop us a line, give us a holler, and we would love to hear from you. Throughout this segment, you can send text messages to 865-306-6362, and we will get your questions on the air. So you can do that anonymously if you so choose. It will be totally fine. So let's jump into our topic for today. Have you ever had a problem with forgiveness, trying to understand how exactly it's supposed to be done? I mean, how in the world are we supposed to forgive people anyway? Some people say you can forgive, but you should never, ever forget. Some people say that you haven't forgiven if you don't give the person the opportunity to do the exact same wrong to you. Other people say that forgiveness is just something that you say to a person so that you can try to get past that actual instance just at that one time. Are these correct? Are those wrong? Today, we're going to talk about forgiveness. What do you do when someone's harmed you? How does the Bible teach us to progress through the process of forgiveness the right way? And how can we make sure that we have truly forgiven someone? All of these are great, 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 great answers. And what about when you're around a person and you still feel awful around them because of something that was done? You know, we want to make sure we answer those and a whole lot more in this section of the Sunday Drive Talk. I want to thank a friend of mine who's all the way from New Orleans, Louisiana, a friend of mine named Daryl Williams, who's joining us today on this section, on this segment. And we're just going to have a little bit of dialogue. How you doing today, Dr. DJ? You doing okay today? I'm having a little bit of technical difficulty hearing them, and while our studio engineers are getting him plugged in, I just want to double check again and make sure that everything is okay. But I want to tell you that on today, we have a great, great rendition of forgiveness, all right? When you guys have them worked out, just go ahead and say something to me there, DJ, so I'll make sure that you're plugged in, all right? I thought.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
So how you making out today? Everything's okay?
Yeah, everything's great. Everything's wonderful. Yeah.
Oh, great, great. How's everything down there in New Orleans? Is going well?
Oh, man, you don't know how to dress down here. The days are hot, nights are cold. You know, somewhere in between, you know, it rains. So, yeah, it's all good down here.
It's always something.
Yeah.
Well, as we get into our topic today, we're going to talk about forgiveness. When most people talk about forgiveness, they think about it on a lot of different levels. But I have quite a few things I'd like to be able to mention. Why is forgiveness such a difficult topic? What do you think? You know, why is it so hard for people to talk about forgiveness or to feel like they have forgiven people? What do you think?
Forgiveness is hard because you have to suppress your own feelings, you know, and your own attitude, and open up your heart to another person, you know. So it's easy to get relaxed and, you know, in our feelings when we're feeling, you know, angry at somebody, or, you know, we have a need for justice, you know, we don't get that justice. We can kind of hold on.
Amen.
Purpose.
Amen.
Yeah.
The Bible, and it's weird because the Bible talks about our ability to be able to forgive. Did you know that it's impossible to be Christian, to be saved, and not be willing to forgive people? The Bible actually teaches us that when Jesus was teaching his disciples to pray, he told them that if you don't forgive people their trespasses, that your Father who is in heaven will refuse to forgive you yours. Isn't that something? So we must be careful, because if we're unwilling to have a spirit of forgiveness, we will not be able to be forgiven ourselves. So we've got to be really, really careful, all right? Be careful. The Bible tells us multiple times to make sure that we forgive other people. I mean, those that are interested, you know, you might want to go out there to Matthew chapter 6 and go check it out. And it's going to be right around that 14th verse when Jesus was explaining this to them. Remember, forgiveness is a lot easier when you're kind, when you want to be kind and you're trying to see what you can do to forgive people. Now, I got a story for you. I want you to check this out, DJ, and tell me what you think about it. This is a true story, too, by the way. Okay? In 1956, five American missionaries headed to the rainforest. It was in the eastern Amazon area around the equator. And on the second visit that they had, and it was they were traveling to this tribe called the Huarani tribe, and when they went this Huarani tribe of people, anthropologists, you know, had already said that they were very vicious, they were violent, you know, and they were one of the most vicious and violent tribes that ever had been on the planet, you know, that they knew of. So they had to be really careful with this tribe. Well, what happened was the studies that the anthropologists had done, you know, and all these scientists said that, you know, that 60% of the tribe had been killed by homicide. I mean, they're so violent, not only that they don't like visitors, they don't like each other, and they kill each other. So in this story, the missionaries on their second trip came there, got off of the plane. And when they got off of the plane, immediately, the tribesmen of the Huarani tribe speared all five missionaries and killed them by spear. Okay? The brutal murder that happened got all the way around the news. It was in Life magazine, Time magazine, Newsweek, et cetera, et cetera. Newspapers, reporters were going all over the place. And there were some popular people around that time named Nate Saint and Jim Elliot. Now check this out. A couple years later, Jim, his wife, one of the missionaries who died, and his daughter Elizabeth, and Valerie Elliot, and Nate's sister. So they had a few of these ladies who came after these men died. They went to the exact same village. And not only did they go to the village, but they moved into the Huarani village just to, on an effort to show love and forgiveness and to minister to the people who had killed their family. Eventually, there was a man named Minkay, and Minkay, the leader of the tribe, and the men who participated in the missionary murders all became Christians.
Wow.
Just because of the kindness and the forgiveness that Elizabeth Elliot, Rachel Saint, and you know, those ladies who went there after deprived of someone they loved and they cared about. They went and ministered on purpose in order to touch the lives of people. And only when you try to, on purpose, for the glory of God, there is no way they're going to get credit or prize for this in any way. That's when we move out by faith. And when you actually desire to show kindness towards God for the purpose of reaching somebody that they may be able to grow in Christ. I'm not talking about someone who is a thief and you give them money out of kind. Well, you know, I love you, so I'm going to give you $10. No, all you do is take money. They didn't want money. They wanted souls to be saved. And they were willing to continue to minister and continue to set a good example of who Christ was until they won over the chief of the tribe and those men who killed their loved ones. I mean, what does that say to you guys? Anyone?
Man, forgiveness is a bit of a pill to swallow sometimes. You know that's
it can be pretty bitter.
It sounds like what Mother Teresa did on our pilgrimage. You know, going to a place where you're not accepted and you're almost even hated, but that type of love there when family members being taken away, that's a very strong devoted love. And
it's pretty harsh.
It's Christ-like, you know.
That is so tough. Miss Janice, why do you think it's so hard for people to forgive, even as Christians sometimes? Why is it so difficult for us?
I think in my own life and in my own experiences, the pain and the hurt, and I think the pain and the hurt sometimes recapitulates over and over, and you play that in your mind because you yourself may not verbalize, "I want resolution," by that person saying, "I'm sorry," but the fact that you don't ever get an apology, it almost puts you back into that same role play over and over, and that cycle never ends because you cannot determine if, when, or even if an apology is going to come. Or say someone has done you wrong and spread your name across in an ill fashion or spread a bunch of lies about you and your reputation, and your thought process is they should be punished for that and I should get an apology. But you can't dictate if that's going to happen. And I think that's why it's so hard to let things go when you feel like you've lost control over what's happened to you.
It's like you expect that person to, since you hurt me, you should help me heal. And so we have an expectation that we can't heal unless we're owed a forgiveness or an apology from that person. Right. I got something I want to read. It's found in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 19. I'll even read 18. It says, if it be possible, as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. Verse 19 says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." Verse 20 says, "Therefore, if your enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head." And last, verse 21 says, "Be not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Now, the reason why I say that, because the very first step in forgiveness is you must relinquish your right to get even with the person who hurt you. Did you know how I said it?
Yeah.
If you're not willing to give up your right, then the expectation you have to get even with them will cause you to transform into the person that hurt you. You will become the hurter. That's when hurt people hurt people. The only time that hurt people don't hurt people is when they've been delivered and healed.
Wow.
When you've been delivered, when God has delivered you, and this is in keeping, because every last one of these go back to Jesus. Jesus was hurt. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. But Jesus relinquished his right to get even with everybody. So when he rose from the grave, he didn't go around saying, oh, yeah, I got a picture perfect. I got a photo snapshot memory, and I'm going to go back and I'm going to knock on each door. He didn't go start knocking on the door of each hut saying, yeah, you remember when you spat on me? Excuse me, Mr. Roman soldier, you remember when you hit me with this spear? Oh, yeah, here you go. He didn't do that. He actually showed us true forgiveness. When the people came to arrest him, he looked at that and he took a look at that. We give up the right to get even. Now, the issue is we're taught that an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth is the way to go. But that was the Old Testament. And the way it was presented in a way where we're not supposed to want to get someone's eye or want to get someone's tooth. It's supposed to be a self-mindset that if I don't want somebody to take my eye, I would not take theirs. That's what we're supposed to say to one another. It's what we choose to act up towards others. But our twisted world twists it around and uses it backwards and say, well, you took my eye, so I'm going to take your eye. And I heard people say that, eye for an eye, two for two, it's in the Bible. No. No. If you fight fire with fire, whatever you're trying to say, you're going to burn it down. So we must relinquish the right to get even. DJ, you know, who do you think has the worst temper, men or women?
Oh, no, I'm going to say women.
Miss Janice, who do you think has the worst temper, men or women?
I'm going to have to say women because men fight with brawn. Women fight inwardly and with their brains, which could be a whole different cultivation.
Yeah, anybody else out there in Radio Land, I want to know what you guys think. Who has the worst anger, most, you know, has a harder time forgiving? Is it men or women? What do you guys think? Women.
I think women do because women are more emotional.
You think they have a harder time forgiving? Amen? Wow.
Yeah, because they're more emotional. Women are a lot more emotional.
So what was you going to say, Ms. Janice?
I'd say women, but I have learned that once men fight, they're done with it. But if they don't ever get it out, that they would take that anger to their grave. They have to have an outlet. Yeah. Women, they can cook your dinner, fry it up in a pan, feed you, and still hold on. But men, they have to have an outlet, or it will come out in some kind of capacity. I think women can harvest more.
Yes. And a study shows psychologically, what was you going to say, DJ?
Oh, no, I was saying, yeah, holding grudges, yeah, women, because they don't have that outlet like men do. Yes. Right.
And you stabbed it. The operative word is grudge. And a grudge, by definition, is a feeling of ill will that causes you to stop loving, stop giving the right way with the right motive.
Mm-hmm.
Like she said, oh, they cooking, but they're not really doing it with the right motive if you're carrying a grudge. A grudge is a feeling of ill will. Now, the first thing you got to do is you must surrender relinquish your right to get even with the person. If you give up that right to get even with the person, then you realize that you're going to say, this is not my job to go let that person feel what I felt. Because no matter what you do, they will never be able to feel what you felt. You can explain it, mm-hmm. but there still is going to be on their powers of understanding whether or not they're really going to be able to feel. Nobody but Jesus is going to be able to really feel what you felt. That's why he says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. You know, you got to leave that in my hands. You know, I was talking to some of my African-American friends, and I told them, I said, many people, if they had a chance, they would reverse slavery and actually enslave Caucasian Americans. But would that really solve anything? If it was wrong for one race, it's just as wrong for the other.
Mm-hmm.
And the first slave mm-hmm. masters weren't white anyway. Okay, let me leave that alone.
Uh-oh.
You know, if you really go back, this go way back. You know, this was back in the Bible days, all right? So when we look at this, you know, the second step is respond to evil with good. That's why Romans 12 and 21 is so powerful, because it says don't be evil for evil. Don't be consumed with evil, but overcome evil with good. See, the issue is when people have evil, we were taught not to overcome it by doing good. When people feel bad, people think bad, people want to act bad. Oh, yeah, I feel this way, so I'm going to act this way. You don't know you need to pray. You don't know you need to read the Bible, but you just don't want to. No, I don't want to. No, I want to be mad, right? And we must respond to evil with good, okay? Check this out. Let me tell you how you can tell if you've completely forgiven someone. When you have the desire to really want to forgive someone, you can actually pray that God would bless that person who hurt you. The Bible says in Matthew 5 and 43, right? You've heard it being said? Mm-hmm. That you love your neighbor, hate your enemy, but I say unto you, Jesus said, he said, love your enemy. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who spitefully use you and persecute you for my name's sake, so that you can be the children of your Father. That's deep, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Some people say, well, that's in the book of Matthew. Well, you can go over to Luke chapter 6, verse 27 and 28. Says the same thing. Bless those who curse you, and pray for those who mistreat you. All right? You have to see, when you act out on anger, you do the same thing as a Christian that you act out on anything that hits you. Anything, no matter what it is, anything that bothers you, you choose to respond the way God wants you to. So you still act out on it. You still get it out of your chest. You still get it out of your spirit, but you don't respond the way that everybody else is, because you're not like everybody else. You are a new creature. Old things are washed away.
Right.
Behold, all things become new. And see, we mess up when, as Christians, we try to open our Christian door with our fleshly key.
Wow.
You can't get the treasure that's in this spiritual chest using worldly, fleshly means. It don't work. I can prove it. Y'all remember when Jesus got ready to get arrested? His disciples were there, and all the disciples deserted him. Well, there was one disciple that said he wasn't going to go quietly. Peter took out his sword, cut off a soldier's ear.
Mm-hmm.
He made up his mind, hey, if I'm going, I'm going down with a fight. And Jesus said, Peter, put that thing up. Put away that sword. If you live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword. He was telling him, you can't get a spiritual blessing with worldly means. And Peter could say, I'm protecting Jesus. I got a right to do this. Nope. Peter, you're not using the right motion, and you're not using the right motive. Hello, somebody. If you're going to be blessed,
right,
you got to use the right motion. You got to use the right motive. So he stops,
right,
puts his sword up, and when he realized he can't do it his way, Peter himself turned tail and took off running into the woods. And left Jesus all by himself. And many times that's what we do. We realize we cannot solve our problem the way we want to solve it. We get mad and abandon God's principles. We get angry and we spend more time thinking about what we don't like instead of thinking about how God would want us to respond. In the midst of unforgivable action, there is a great opportunity to impact people for Christ. That unforgivable action, these missionaries didn't do anything wrong to these people, and they killed them. But these people chose to respond as the way that God would be pleased. And they said, we are willing to risk our own lives in order to help them get to know the God that they needed to know in the beginning. And by doing so, they made sure that their dad and their brother was not did not die in vain, and they were able to win hearts and souls to Christ. What was that question?
Isn't that what it says in James? Slow to speak, quick to listen,
yeah,
and slow to anger.
Come on now.
What you were saying about the for forgiveness, you know, when we do things, when people do things for us, we have to do things in a Christ-like manner, not
Amen.
In a fleshly manner, you know. Speaks about that, you know. Like with my brother, I had art against my brother. I had unforgiveness with him. And when I rededicated my life back to Christ, I had to ask for forgiveness. I was like, I ask you for forgiveness, you know, with everything that has happened. And I'm letting you know that I forgive you. It's over. It's done with, you know. You got to be willing to let it go, you know. And he wasn't, you know, willing to forgive me, but it's okay. You know, I did the part that I was supposed to do, you know, and I still show love.
Amen.
And I send him a text every morning saying good morning. You know, I hope you're having a great and wonderful day. You know, I want him to know that I'm making the steps forward, you know. It's not about just saying it. It's about showing as well.
Amen. Amen. I put something on Facebook about a half an hour ago, and it says forgiveness doesn't mean what was done was okay. It means I'm done carrying the burden of it.
Right.
Wow.
Most people don't realize that you hold on to what you want to hold on to. Some people say, yes, I'm so heavy laden and burdened down. Lord, please, please take my burden away. And God want to take it away, but we don't want to let go of it.
Right.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. God wants to bless you more than you want to be blessed. We don't realize that the Titanic is sinking, and he's trying to put you in a life raft. But instead of letting go, we're going to hold on to the life raft and bring the life raft and everybody else who's connected to us down underwater and drown them before we let go of that Titanic, unless we choose to forgive.
Hmm.
Yep.
There's power in it. We are created to be people who respond to God, not react to every emotion, every feeling. God wants us to relinquish our right to get even, and then he wants us to respond to evil with good. Now, I've got two more steps to this, but during this broadcast, I've only had enough time to deal with two. So I think that we ought to do this in part B and actually do two parts. And then come back next week and let's do the second two parts, because this is really good. And I want to personally invite everyone who's on here today to come back next week as well. And let's do this thing again at the exact same time. We're going to take 30 minutes and we're going to dive back into here again. The last thing I want to close out, I want to ask, are there any questions from anyone? Yes, ma'am. Are there any questions from anyone before we close out?
Just making sure. No.
Okay, good. Well, I want you to put your mind around this. Unforgiveness is worse than the offense. It's worse. Let me show you how it works. If you get dirt in your navel and you choose to wash it out, it was just dirt that was in your navel. But if you leave dirt in your navel and you choose to go 2 months without washing it out, when you get ready to wash it out, it's already had bacteria that's in there, a rash that has developed, and it has now merged with your skin. And in order for you to move that dirt, it now is going to cause you to have to go through a whole lot of pain that you would not have had to go through had you let go of the dirt before you became one with it. God only wants us to become one with his spirit. And forgiveness allows us to lay aside every weight that so easily beset us a little bit better. And then we can think clearly to be able to be what he wants us to be. I think it will be a good challenge today for us to resolve to be people who are forgiving and use wisdom as the forgiven people of God. So as we forgive, we forgive the action. We can remember the action, but we don't have to relive the hurt. And psychologists and scientists actually have a proven fact that when women remember something, they relive the emotion they had when they went through it in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but the issue is the psychological mind of a woman has duality to it. They can choose to emphasize something that they think is so important that they will ignore all the pain that they went through. I can prove it.
Mm-hmm.
When a woman has a child, she is so close to death at that moment, but she can choose to ignore all the pain she went through because of the love of the life that she has. And if she can do that for her physical baby, why can't we do that once we have received the Son of God in our heart? And once we have his life, that we're able to let go of the pain, because people don't do what they know. They do what they feel like. And if you keep that in your mind, you continue to meditate on evil, all right, what you focus on will be what you follow. And so I want to challenge us today to be people of forgiveness. Let's learn from those mistakes. And it's okay to forgive someone and still tell them no.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. Wisdom says if you stole my cousin's car, then you stole my mama's car, then you stole my car, that right after I forgave you and you said, hey, man, can I drive your car? No, man, you can't drive my car. I love you, but you haven't earned that level of trust back, bro. And so we're going to get into that part next week, because I had to make sure I end this by mentioning that, because some people think that to show love means that you must eliminate wisdom and allow a person who's not able to care for something important to continue to misuse it. Boom. That's different. So we'll get into that part next week. I'm hoping you guys will tune in at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 12 Central Standard Time, and let's see what we can do to pick this back up on the Sunday Drive Talk. I've been your host, Dr. William Butler. I'm so glad our producer, Sister Janice Hudson, the Z, is on here. And I want to say thank you for my brother from another mother all the way from New Orleans, Louisiana, who tuned in as a special guest on today, my brother, Dr. DJ Williams, and all of you who are out there. And I want to thank God for our sound engineer, all right, Nicole Gable, and all of you who help us out. Until next time. We love you. God loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it. If you're ever in the Morristown area, come on out to the Rock of Ages Baptist Church. It's at 420 West 13th North Street in Morristown, Tennessee, 37814. We have worship service on Sundays. We have a Bible study similar to this on Sundays at 9:30, and we even feed the community, including you, if you show up for Sunday school. And at 11 a.m. on Sundays, we have an awesome worship service. Get a great word from God and another Bible study and our midweek worship at 6 p.m. every Wednesday. You're welcome anytime to come on out and be a part of us. Until next time, as Miss Janice would say, we love you, but God loves you best. Have a victorious week in Jesus.